Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You've been putting off. You do that for me, and I'll stop peeling my wallpaper when I get bored.
Make your home happy with great deals right now at Lowe's, like up to 30% off Porter Cable Power Tools. Valid September 26th through October 12th. Excludes accessories. U.S. only.
Grit, grind, and a grand. Now's your chance to win $1,000 from 92.9 FM ESPN. You have until 11:15 to text the word TREE, T-R-E-E, to 72881. That's right. You got 15 minutes to text the word TREE, T-R-E-E, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 from 92.9 FM ESPN. Your next chance to win will be at 2 o'clock on the Eric Castletine Show. Ben Hogan will be here to give you that cash code word. Your final chance of the day to win will be at 5 o'clock on the Gary Parris Show. And Brad Carson will be back to give you the final cash code word of the day. Again, you have 15 minutes. You have until 11:15 to text the word TREE, T-R-E-E, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 from 92.9 FM ESPN. Some data message rates may apply.
Now, it's Forrest Goodman on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN.
There are many reasons why you can get excited when you get up in the morning. We chronicled some of them for you yesterday, just if you're a sports fan. But you wake up, it's fall, it's crisp in the morning, it's going to get even crispier. That kind of sounds disgusting now that I say it. It's going to get crisper as we get on into October. Sun and just fall, and hopefully the colors, if we can get some rain and things don't just turn brown. But here's the big reason why you should wake up happy today. John Roser, do you realize it's National Taco Day?
Oh, it is.
Yes, sir. National Taco Day, on top of already being what most people on social media hashtag as Taco Tuesday. And there's a lot of places that do things for Taco Tuesday. Well, today is also National Taco Day. So I'm saying, when this show is over, I got to find somewhere to celebrate. I've got to do the right thing. So there's another reason to face the day with a big smile on your face. You a taco guy, Roser?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Who doesn't love tacos?
It's right up there with cheeseburgers as being a
right.
Good thing.
Hey, man, good to you, or, you know.
Yeah, but stack on some of the good stuff. Don't put all the sour cream and the cheese, but put some of the good stuff on there.
Yeah. Well, go over to the taco truck.
You know, I need to do that. It's right over here on the corner by the radio
station. Taco truck is delicious.
I've got to do that. That may be where I go today when I leave the station.
It would be a wise move.
After 2 o'clock, though, because we're here 11 to 2. Good to have you back today, John Roser.
Yeah, man. I enjoyed my day of vacation, sitting on my couch all day yesterday. It was like Office Space, the movie Office Space.
I love that movie.
Peter just has a dream of doing nothing. Yeah. I just had a dream. I didn't want to do anything yesterday, and I did nothing. I stayed home. It did, because even when I had days off in the past, I had stuff to do.
Yeah.
I had errands to run. Like, I was like, I will put everything off. I'm not doing anything today. I am sitting around, and that's what I did, and it was amazing. But I can only do that, like, for one day before I just drive myself insane. I can't just sit around.
So, like, what's the offering? Because it's not like you took off on a day where there was... Like in March Madness, where, well, I took off today so I could watch basketball all day, or I took off so I could... I mean, what was going on? I mean, don't tell me you were watching, like, you know, Maury or a show like that.
No, I was not watching Maury. I got caught up on a lot of stuff on my DVR.
Some binge watching.
First couple episodes of 60 Minutes, the new season of 60 Minutes. Watched that. First couple episodes of the new season of Gotham. I watched that. I watched the South Park from last week. Yeah, the first season of Gotham was not very good, but the second season was awesome, and the third season's been really good so far.
Yeah,
so
I've got to finish the second season.
Yeah, the second season was great.
Yeah,
the second season was great.
I liked the first, but see, I dig all that kind of stuff.
Gotham.
My daughter really gets into The Flash and got me into it, and it premieres this week. I've been doing some binge watching. The family was out of town over the weekend, so after we were through with the Tigers the other night, get in and was catching up on some stuff, and then working around, got back to it Sunday night when that game was just totally out of reach and out of hand. So,
and people are raving about this new show with Anthony Hopkins on HBO, Westworld.
I was reading about that on Twitter this
morning. So I need to watch that too.
Yeah.
I need to watch that.
Yeah. I've caught up. I finally, and I know I'm late to the party. I'm 2 years late to the party. I watched season one of True Detective here in the last week or so. Literally sat down all 8 hours within 2 or 3 days. And everyone who told me, when I tell them that, they go, don't worry with season two with Vince Vaughn, that it wasn't as good.
No, I lost interest in season two really quick. I was just like, okay, this isn't...
But they go, oh, season one, Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Just really good. And don't fool with season two. So, and it's hard this time of year with everything going on.
Yeah.
We've got, you know, World Series will be here before we know it as we get into the baseball playoffs. You've got the NFL. You've got college football. We've got the Grizzlies.
Yeah, clearly the NBA starting back up.
Yeah, and you were at the game last night, and I want to get into that and what you saw a little bit later on in the program. And, I could understand taking a day off, just doing some binge watching, relaxing, vegging out. So, good. Glad to have you back with us today. Here's what we got going on today on the program. We're going to talk with Mitch Light a little later on Athlon College Football. And I think there's various things to throw at him, not just some of the results, but some of the things that are playing out right now when it comes to I told you before we went on the air, this is one of the earliest I remember the coaching carousel start spinning. And it's all because LSU decided to go ahead and fire Les Miles in September. And what that automatically does is that creates headaches for guys like Herman at Houston. It creates problems for other guys because then they're going to be asked about it. They're not going to say anything. They wouldn't say anything if it's the last week of the season. That's what they have agents for. And that's where those feelers. But it kind of creates a distraction sometimes because people want to know. Well, then yesterday, the word got out, and I think it started on Feinbaum's show yesterday afternoon, that there were some in the administration at LSU that say it's not out of reach to say that Ed Orgeron has a legitimate shot to keep the title as head coach instead of just being interim when season's over. And I'll go back to a guest we had on yesterday. I talked to Brad Logan, GridironNow.com. And when we talked about the SEC, he went out on the limb and said he thinks that Ed Orgeron will get the job. Now, Brad covering Ole Miss for Gridiron Now, and he knows the history. I said, no, wait a minute. We know what happened when he was head coach of the Rebels back oh so many years ago. Now, he may have redeemed himself in the interim when he was at Southern Cal, and I think he's good at the positions that he coached and being on staffs. I've never really questioned that. But putting him as a head coach, but he's grown and matured and probably changed and would probably do a lot of things different now as a head coach than maybe he did when he coached the Rebels. And so maybe it's not that out of the ordinary. But, John, you start looking at the list of possibilities, then you know LSU's open. And LSU is a primo job. Where would you rank it? I mean, it's one of the top jobs in the SEC.
LSU's a top 10 job in the country.
In the country, okay. Yeah. So I'm not off when I say that. But what if Charlie Strong gets fired at Texas?
Mm-hmm.
I dare say Texas may be one of the best in the country.
Texas is top two in the entire country.
In the entire country. Who would be your other of the top two?
I'd say Texas, Florida, Ohio State.
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say those three.
I agree with you. I think Texas, if Charlie Strong is let go. All right, so now we're at LSU. And remember, now the rest of these are possibilities, but all you got to do is read bloggers, read people who post on the internet, and you know this is being talked about. Notre Dame is also being thrown into the question, the future there. Notre Dame may not be... It may not carry the same swagger that the Notre Dame name used to, but it's still a top job.
It absolutely is. Notre Dame's a top 15 job.
It is a top
15 job. There's no doubt.
desirable.
Mm-hmm.
It's on top of that, that's what also makes it attractive, because there are coaches that desire to have their name associated with that. All right, so let's say Notre Dame opens up. Let's say Southern Cal, which has Clay Helton right mm-hmm. now, used to be on the Memphis staff.
USC's a top 10 job.
USC, definitely an attractive job. Okay, so now we're up to four, and we're not just talking just jobs. We're talking four primo jobs, four jobs that are desirable, four jobs that I think you can win. The reason I put Texas so high is they've got the money, they've got the name, they've got the recruiting, they've got the resources, and I think the league, I think going there, it's easier to win in the Big 12 than it is in the SEC, than it is at LSU. It just is right now, especially because LSU's in the West Division. If it were in the East, I think it'd be a little different.
Well, here's another big one.
Okay.
Oregon.
So now we're up to five.
Oregon's 2-3. They play Washington on Saturday. Now, they get them at home.
Okay.
They get them at home. But Washington looks really good.
Right. Okay, so now you're at five. What about Penn State?
Penn State could open
Does
up.
Penn State still carry the same weight that it did 20 years ago?
No, it clearly doesn't. It also doesn't when you're playing in the same conference as Jim Harbaugh
right.
and Urban Meyer.
Right.
And then, you know, Michigan State, Wisconsin, they're good. So, no, it doesn't.
So, taking that job, you're even at a bigger disadvantage than, say, if you went to LSU, where you're in the same division of a conference with Alabama.
Yeah.
Arkansas, which is on the upswing.
They host Maryland on Saturday.
Okay. They're 3-2 hosting Maryland on Saturday.
Yeah.
And, again, we're just throwing that out as possibility. It's another name. So, now we're up to six. But still six. Penn State has been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
A good job. Joe Pa was there forever, so we don't know how desirable it was, because he didn't go anywhere until the way all that ended there.
What if Franklin lost the job at Penn State and Mason gets fired at Vanderbilt and Franklin just goes back to Vanderbilt?
Would they take him back?
I think they would.
I think they would.
I think they absolutely would.
Now, Vanderbilt could be another one. Now, it's not in notoriety and top jobs and desirable, but it is in the SEC. So there's that. And I'm yet to meet a coach who's trying to make a name for himself that doesn't feel he can go somewhere and win.
Right.
And there's a lot of them. They won't attract the guys like out of Houston. They won't attract a top name. I think a name that I just don't hear mentioned a lot that is going to come in the mix, let's say all these open and then the dominoes begin to fall, where you've got this level and then you got the next level of teams which will lose their coach to that top level, Bobby Petrino at Louisville. I think Bobby Petrino at Louisville will be sought after. Now, will he leave? I don't know.
He loves to leave.
He does. He's got a history of it.
He loves to leave places.
Whether he leaves unexpectedly or whether he's forced out.
Right.
You're exactly right.
He leaves places.
Or whether he's conspiring to leave.
Right.
Like he did one time. But Bobby Petrino's name. Because here's one thing. All of a sudden, athletic directors can get very short-term memory of your past, of whether it be leaving, whether it being forced out through scandal or whatever it is, when you start winning football games and when you have a proven track record. Look what he's done at Louisville. Now, I know over the weekend they fell to Clemson. But still, look what he's done with Louisville. And now, granted, ACC team now, they've made a commitment to football. They did several years ago. So they have won some games, but he went in there.
He's got the best player in the country on his team.
Right. But he went in there and he won big until this past weekend. So Bobby Petrino's name, I think, would be out there. Where do you think, if all of this starts to happen, and we don't know, there will be other jobs that will come open at the end of the season or maybe as the season progresses. Where do you think Art Briles fits in all this?
Yeah.
Now, this is a guy who came out of nowhere when he went to Houston. He was a high school football coach in Texas. And we got to know him very well when he went to Houston because he was in the same conference as Memphis. And I think a lot of people kind of raised an eyebrow. And then he gets in there and he has a good run of recruiting. He brought in some players there and won at a program that had some success but was able then to work that into the Baylor job. And then, of course, Kevin Sumlin comes along and works that into the A&M job. So all of a sudden, Houston, and with their current coach likely to go somewhere at the end of this season, I mean, that's not a bad place to land. But for Briles, would he go back? You said this before the show. Would he go back to Houston?
I think Herman's leaving Houston one way or the other.
Somewhere.
Texas, LSU, USC, whatever. USC's going to come open. I don't, like, Lynn Swann didn't hire Clay Helton.
Yeah.
So, And that just seemed kind of weird to me at the time that Clay Hilton got that job, but whatever, he got the job, so good for him. He's going to make guaranteed money. But I think, like, Herman's going to leave. Herman's going to leave. I think Houston, so I think if Art Briles took, like, say, an LSU or, you know, a Penn State, a big name Power 5 program.
Okay.
I think those programs would get, the backlash would not be good.
Because
that's
of the scandal.
I think if he went back to a place like Houston, I don't think people would just kill Houston for it. Because it's Houston. Nobody cares about Houston.
And Houston is the best of the non-P5s right now. The American Athletic Conference is clearly the best outside of that. They're six. If you put those five first, I mean, they're clearly. And then Houston right now is the best of that. You know, top-rated program. I played very well this year. They own a win over Oklahoma. A lot of people put them in the mix for being in contention at the end of the season. I don't think it's that far. I don't think that is as far of a reach as some people thinking Ed Orgeron may get the LSU job. Because I don't think it'll happen.
Yeah.
Because I think LSU will have a list, and it's not a knock against Coach O. It's just the fact of you're going to have people who have a nice pedigree and a nice long resume and have proven experience that are going to do it. And or want that job.
Well, I look at it like, so Louisville, they brought Petrino back, and Bobby Petrino had a lot of baggage.
A lot of baggage.
Now, it's not the same as Art Briles. It's clearly not.
No.
But
yeah,
nobody talks about the Bobby Petrino stuff anymore. And the Briles stuff clearly is different. I mean, that's some pretty disgusting stuff.
Oh, it's different, night and day. Petrino had a wreck on a motorcycle with a co-ed.
But I think if you're Art Briles and you want to get back into college football coaching and you want to lay low a little bit, Houston probably wouldn't be a bad spot for him because it's still a good job.
Yeah.
Because if Herman there, leaves, you're going to have players that are there still.
He can recruit players there,
He can recruit players there, too. I think that might be a good spot for him.
We'll talk a little bit about that with Mitch a little later on. You went to the Grizzlies game last
night. I wonder if he has problems recruiting, though, now. I wonder if he'll have problems recruiting.
Well, it will be different sitting in mom and daddy's living room now.
Well, especially when you're sitting there with mom.
Right.
When you're sitting there with mom,
it will be, you're right, and there will be that knock, so I think that's a valid point. And again, this is all purely speculation. The only thing we know right now is LSU will need a head coach at the end of the season. You went to the Grizzlies game last night. We'll spend time today talking about that. We'll get into the NBA with Matt Moore, 12:25 this afternoon. What did you think, exhibition game one?
Okay, so I stayed for the first three quarters, and then I left because I wanted to watch the second half of the Vikings-Giants game. And I saw what I needed to see in three quarters. Wanted to see Gasol and Conley, clearly. Mm-hmm. They're coming back from injury. I wanted to see those two guys. And right at first, you could tell a little jitters. Few jitters, first time really getting back out there in a long time playing in actually a game, like a real game. Now it's preseason, so but whatever, you know, it counts. There's a final score at the end of the game, and it counts as a win or a loss.
And David Fizdale went into it with certain goals and accomplishments he wanted to achieve.
Right. Gasol at the 3-point line a lot. He normally hung out in that elbow area, that mid-range area, you know, setting picks there, pick and roll, run a lot of stuff through the high post area through Mark. A lot of him on the three-point line at the top of the key and on the wings a little bit, but a lot of him on that three-point line to move him out a little bit. I thought Conley looked a little slow at times, but it's also preseason. He's been through this a million times, mm-hmm. so I doubt Conley's going 100% at him. Wade Baldwin, clearly the star last night.
Say, what did you think of Wade Baldwin?
Because that's been the biggest question for me going in. Like, the starting five, you know, if they're healthy, the starting five's going to be really good. You just know it is. When they get all healthy and they're there, Parsons, Tony. Tony didn't play last night. Parsons didn't play last night. I think that they'll be fine. Starting five's going to be fine if they're healthy. The bench was what you worry about. Brandon Wright, like kind of one of the only, him and Jamichael Green, kind of the only, Jamichael kind of came on the scene a little bit last year and mm-hmm. gave good minutes, but Brandon Wright's kind of the only one who's like established NBA player. I thought Baldwin was fantastic. There are times where you can tell he's still learning and it will take him time. And when you get into the regular season and teams start really scouting for you, things will get harder on him. But he made some very nice plays last night. He also at times made some plays where he would make the wrong decision a couple of times. There were a couple of times he came down. He had DJ Augustine in front of him, and all he would have had to have done was he did this a couple of times, make a quick like little hesitation dribble and blow by Augustine to the right, and he's got a wide open layup. Instead, he'd like cross over to the left and then have to just pass out somewhere. And it's like, he'll figure that out.
Right.
He'll figure that out, where his spots are and things like that. Sometimes he dribbles a little too deep, gets the ball a little too deep and got kind of stuck and has to throw like a crazy pass back out top or something like that. But overall, Baldwin was fantastic. I mean, that's you'll take some of the mistakes if he's going to be able to make some of those plays that he was able to make last night. Didn't get to see Deontay Davis. He didn't play. Andrew Harrison, not very athletic. That kind of scares me a little bit.
Okay.
Not very athletic. Troy Daniels missed his shots, and I heard Jeff talking about it. It's true. He couldn't stay in front of anybody. DJ had some awesome dunks in the second half. Gasol and Conley didn't play the second half. DJ had some awesome dunks. Vince came out and took three threes like right away. He made one of them. You got to wait and see. You got to wait and see where they get all these guys together. I don't know when Parsons is going to be good to go. I imagine Tony will be. I don't know how bad Tony's knee is. I would imagine if it was a regular season game, Tony would have played last night.
Right.
But there was really no point.
Why do it?
There's no point.
Yeah,
no point in playing him in the preseason game. But overall, yeah, fine. Just one preseason game. I'm not gonna freak out about it. The only thing I will say, jump ball has got to be better. The jump ball at the beginning of the game was just a disaster, and I thought a terrible way to start the preseason with that jump ball.
Explain. Just
they both missed it.
Okay,
they like both missed it.
Okay,
yeah, horrible for a jump ball.
That's not
got to be better than that. Need better execution on the jump ball, guys. But first preseason game, I'll let it pass.
I was able to listen to some of it last night. I was busy doing Tiger football stuff and listen to some of Eric's call right here on 92.9 afterwards. So I'm using your eyes and what you saw. And I guess the biggest question going into last night was just Mark Gasol. And you're not seeing everything about Mark right now. I mean,
it is the preseason.
It's preseason. It's like exhibition football. It's vanilla. You don't show much.
You don't show everything.
You don't show much. You don't want to get anyone hurt. This is to help the players,
give them
a few minutes, and then get them on the bench and no one gets hurt.
And Coach Fizdale mentioned like the first week of training camp that they were focusing on defense.
Okay.
So I think this week they'll implement more offense as far as, they got a couple days off before they play Atlanta on Thursday,
right? Okay.
Yeah, play Atlanta on Thursday. So, I mean, I think they'll implement some more offensive stuff and try to do it and when they practice. But I don't know how much of it they're going to show in the preseason.
So my question is, with all that, but you still saw Mark out there. The big question with him is, how does he come back after all of that?
He moved fine.
How did he move? Okay.
He moved fine.
Good.
Yeah, he looked fine. Again, I think the biggest thing was Baldwin last night, because that was my biggest fear coming into the season. You're coming in with two rookie backup point guards to Mike Conley, who was injured last year, and who just got that massive contract. You don't need to roll Mike Conley out there 40 minutes a night. You don't want to do that. And so that's what I worried about, because the last time they had a rookie backup point guard, it was Nick Calathes. And it took Calathes over half the season before he finally figured it out and became a, capable NBA player. But if Baldwin can look like that, they're going to be fine. Looked way better than Andrew Harrison.
How did Orlando look? Just real quick.
Evan Fournier can play.
Yeah.
Evan Fournier can play. Fournier, I mean, that dude, his shooting stroke is gorgeous, and he's fast, and he's quick. Fournier is legit. Fournier's legit. Now, a lot of their guys didn't play, too. Like, Serge Ibaka didn't play. Aaron Gordon didn't play. So, you don't really get to see. One thing I forgot. Frank Vogel's their head coach now.
Oh, yeah.
Frank Vogel's their head coach. I forgot about that. You forget about those things.
You're right.
It happened so long ago.
Right.
And Vogel was good.
And we're so focused on what's going on here. That's
right.
A good point. We'll talk more about the Grizz as the show progresses. We're back to college football. We do it next. Mitch Light with Athlon joins us right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's going to be caught.
Undefeated University of Tennessee Volunteers travel to College Station to take on the Texas A&M Aggies. Saturday, College Game Day live at 9 a.m. Pre-game at 1 o'clock. And then Tennessee versus Texas A&M Saturday at 2:30.
This is Coach Butch Jones. Follow the Vols all season long. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hi, folks. Alan Thick here. If you owe the IRS, they want their money now, and it's their right to get it. The truth is they would rather settle for less than bother you more, and that's why they've launched the Fresh Start program to help solve your tax problem once and for all. You could now qualify for a settlement that saves you thousands. No one knows this program better than the attorneys at Optima Tax Relief. They will fight to get you the best settlement.
Call 800-354-2840. 800-354-2840.
Optima Tax Relief.
This Saturday, UFC middleweight champion Michael Bisping defends his title on home soil against the man responsible for his most devastating defeat, Dan Henderson.
I am the better fighter. I will beat him, and we will no longer hear about Dan Henderson.
Will history be rewritten or repeated?
Honestly, I don't know why Michael would want a rematch. It didn't go well the first time.
UFC 204, Bisping versus Henderson 2, only on pay-per-view. Card subject to change.
I'm going to tell you something that the insurance industry is going to be absolutely furious about me sharing with you. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Most consumers, year in and year out, just renew their existing insurance policies blindly. You may not even notice the rate increases, but they're there. Over the years, you are paying way too much needlessly. My suggestion, each year, get a new quote from three independent agents. And don't use the online services. They're owned by insurance companies. If all of us did this every year, we would save billions of dollars in business, life, disability, and auto premiums. And if your agent doesn't add uninsured motorists to your policy, don't buy from them. They're not on your side. At Morgan & Morgan, we represent consumers. Morgan & Morgan, for the people.
Think you're fat? You might just be bloated. Find out by calling now for a free trial of Nubiotics, the new breakthrough that flattens bloated bellies fast. For a free trial, call 1-800-700-6757. Strict limit of one per household.
I used to be plagued by pot belly and constant bloating. After taking Nubiotics, my belly flattened and continues to get flatter. My sense of bloating and discomfort is gone.
If you've got a big belly, you might not be fat. You might just be bloated. Nubiotics is scientifically formulated with natural ingredients to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. It even combats periodic heartburn and acid reflux. If your belly flattening results are too dramatic, simply reduce use to every other day. Think you might be bloated? See how much flatter Nubiotics makes your belly. But hurry, call now for details while we're still giving it away for free. 1-800-700-6757. That's 1-800-700-6757. 1-800-700-6757.
Come work with us. We are McLean Food Service. Are you a Class A delivery driver or a warehouse selector with at least 2 years' experience? If so, McLean Food Service wants to talk to you. Call 901-383-6120. That's 901-383-6120. McLean Food Service is offering the following to qualified drivers: an average annual salary of $60,000, plus a signing bonus of $5,000 and benefits starting day one. Also, you will have set routes for solo or team driving. McLean is offering a four-day schedule to warehouse selectors with an 11 a.m. start time, earning up to $20 per hour. Take the next step and join the team of professional drivers and warehousemen at McLean Food Service. Call 901-383-6120 for more details and learn what salary you qualify for. 901-383-6120. McLean Food Service, an equal opportunity employer. 901-383-6120.
Let me get the biscuits and gravy, please.
Here you go, $1.
That's a lottery ticket.
Yeah, biscuits and gravy. Went up to $1,000 instantly.
Okay, but I haven't had breakfast. I was kind of hungry.
Wouldn't you rather have $1,000 for breakfast?
Yeah, I guess so.
Then you could buy all the biscuits and gravy you want, made from scratch.
I'll take the dough.
Nice. I see what you did there.
Play new instant games like Biscuits and Gravy, 22 Double Deuces, and Royal Jewels. Win up to $200,000. The Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
Honey, how's that pumpkin coming? Honey? Are you okay?
Yes, yes.
Honey, why do you have that look on your face? What's that in your hand?
This? I just scratched a Jack-O-Lantern Jumbo Bucks instant game from the Tennessee Lottery, and we won!
Play Jack-O-Lantern Jumbo Bucks and carve out some serious cash, like up to $75,000. The Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
O'Reilly Auto Parts. They have locations all over Memphis, all over the Mid-South. Hey, John Roser here from 92.9 FM ESPN telling you about O'Reilly Auto Parts. Anything you need, automotive parts and supplies, they have professional parts people on hand, ready and willing to help you out with whatever it is you need for your car to keep the interior and the exterior looking its best, looking shiny. You can get all the supplies you need at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You need a new battery? Take your car over to O'Reilly Auto Parts. They'll test the battery out for you. If it's the problem, Then you'll get a Superstart battery available exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Need new wiper blades? Tell them to make and model of your car. They'll hook you up with wiper blades. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Sports Station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Summer long for the start of college football season. Then it gets here, and now we look down. We're going into the second weekend of October, and a lot of teams are getting ready to make the turn into the second half of their season. Let's talk about it with Athlon. Mitch Light joins us here on the program. And Mitch, we've seen some great storylines develop from the first half of the season, and coming out of this, going into the second half, one thing I know, Tennessee has won games, and they're lucky, but I'd rather be lucky than not so lucky sometimes. And I think after the weekend, and I look at their schedule, no matter what happens against A&M and Alabama, I still think that they're now in line to win the East and represent that division in Atlanta in December. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, college, you don't apologize for winning in college football. Don't really apologize for winning on the road, especially. And it's not like college basketball where, like, things will even out over a 30-game season. Things might not even out over a 12-game season. As Tennessee fans know, in 1998, you know, the ball kind of bounced their way, and they won the national championship. Not saying they're going to win it this year, but, right. You know, so far, 5-for-5. But to your point, yeah, I mean, the fact that Georgia played pretty well after that no-show against Ole Miss, if Georgia would have defeated Tennessee, then I would say, hey, this could be a three-team race between Florida, Georgia, and Tennessee. But now that Tennessee has wins over both those teams, and Georgia already, you know, lost to Ole Miss, a lot of, you know, Tennessee would have to lose its next two games, which is possible, and then Florida would have to run the table, which, based on the way they played the last couple weeks, probably isn't possible. So, you know, I'm not a mathematician, but I put Tennessee at about 85% chance of winning the East right now.
I would, too, because, look, there's no such thing as an easy game in the SEC. I understand that. But their schedule after Alabama does get easier for them compared to what the first half has been like.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. You know, I'm looking at South Carolina, showed a pulse against Texas A&M last Saturday, but they're still an offensively challenged team.
Right.
Kentucky, you know, getting Missouri at home helps. I'm still not sure what to make of Missouri. I think they're improved, but they don't have anything resembling a quality win. They defeated Eastern Michigan and Delaware State, and then they've lost their three games against Power 5 teams. And then you know, so they get Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Missouri to close the season. So it's, you know, it falls for Tennessee this way a lot. I mean, that's why Tennessee historically has such a great November record. It's, their October schedule is so difficult. But, you know, if they could somehow get a split the next 2 weeks, then you're talking about loftier goals.
Right.
If they lose the next two games, I still think they'll win the East.
Right. Oh yeah, I think you're right on that. One more thing on Tennessee, and then we'll move on. But I guess it depends on who you ask. I'll talk to a Tennessee fan, and he'll tell me, look, the games we've won, the Hail Mary against Georgia, winning in overtime against App State, that just has proven that we're a team that will find a way to win. Critics, however, will say, look, sooner or later, luck runs out, and this catches up with you. I don't know. I'll ride the fence on this one. I don't know which way to follow, but like you said, winning is winning, and the wins still count the same.
Yeah, I mean, you can spin that however you want. Like, I would say finding a way to win is, you know, coming up with a huge defensive stop or, you know, going on a 75-yard touchdown drive in 2 minutes to go, falling on a fumble in the end zone to beat App State and winning on a Hail Mary, there's some luck involved.
You know,
credit them for winning the game, of course, being in those positions and all that stuff, but it's not like they're making the grittiest plays, to win games. But, hey, you know what? They were good enough to throw the ball, you know, to make that play in the end zone. And, you know, we could be talking about Georgia being on kind of a fluke play as well.
Sure.
You know, 50-yard pass. There was some poor defense involved for Tennessee there. But the bottom line is winning or losing, and they've won all five.
The conversation would be extremely different. You're right. Had Georgia been able to win that instead of Tennessee. Keeping along the lines of the SEC, but also kind of broadening the picture, we know there's one opening right now in the country, and that will be LSU. They fired Les Miles last month. And regardless of what I've said numerous times about whether that was the right or wrong time, the fact is they've done it. It could be the first, or it is the first, of what I think will be many jobs that will open, and we've got some coaches on the hot seat. This could be a banner year when it comes to top-tier teams, desirable teams, with jobs that open.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and, you know, obviously the Charlie Strong talk has heated up at the University of Texas. Clay Helton at Southern Miss, Southern Cal. he might be at Southern Miss soon if he doesn't get it going at Southern Cal. You know, even though he's only been there 1 year, now they had a really nice win on Saturday night. They just dismantled a decent Arizona State team. So there is opportunity to turn that around. But what happens when you have marquee jobs open, good coaches get pulled away from their jobs, which creates other marquee jobs.
So, right.
Yeah, I mean, it could be really, really interesting. Or Ed Orgeron could get the LSU job. Charlie Strong could beat Oklahoma and win five straight. And it could be a boring carousel.
That's right.
Well, we'll find out in the next month or two.
What do you think the chances are Orgeron gets that job?
If before the season you told me that Les Miles was going to get fired at some point and Ed Orgeron would be the interim head coach, I'd probably say about a 10 or 20% chance. But I don't know. I just reading the tea leaves, it seems to be a chance now. And you know, it's not necessarily fair to Ed Orgeron to say, well, you failed as the head coach at Ole Miss. I mean, that was a long time ago. He's clearly changed. He's learned his, you know, he's learned from his mistakes. I don't think, you know, I'm kind of waffling here because it's a tough decision. If I'm LSU, would I hire him? I'd say probably not. I just don't think there's enough evidence that he can be the CEO of a program. But I'm willing to have my mind changed based on how they play this year, which maybe not the best decision to make if you're LSU. You kind of need to make the decision. Is he a guy that can run your program for the next 5, 7, or 10 years? Not is he a guy that can get some of his team motivated for the next 7 weeks, because he's proven he can do that as a coach. So it's a very sticky situation. I mean, if he wins, he's going to be very popular. There's going to be a lot of momentum for him to get that job.
Well, the fans, a lot of fans took to Twitter over the weekend after that and were ready to give him the job then, and that would be overreacting. You know, I look at it this way, Mitch. LSU will command some good names at the end of the season. All they got to do is just say, look, send us your resume, and there's going to be a lot of folks that have an extensive pedigree, extensive resume that will want that job. That being said, I'm not knocking Coach O. Maybe he can have some success at LSU and work that into another head coach's job somewhere else that's not quite at the LSU level.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a possibility. You know, if you're a AD out there and Ed Orgeron's available, you can say, hey, he did a good job at USC. He did a good job at LSU. He might be a desirable guy. And kind of to your point, Forrest, you know, I say, if Ed Orgeron didn't have LSU ties or, you know, wasn't from the state there, would they consider him for the job?
Right.
The answer is no. And I always use this. My example is not as good as it was in the preseason because Wisconsin's having a really good season. But, like, Paul Chryst, you know, if you're Wisconsin, when they hired a coach 2 years ago, would you hire a guy that was basically a 500 coach at Pitt to be your coach? And the answer is no. The only reason they hired him is because he was an alum and a former offensive coordinator. So I think it's dangerous sometimes for schools to hire a guy just because he has ties there.
Right.
Now, being an interim coach is a little bit different than a former player. So it's, you know, that's why these ADs, and they get paid a lot of money because they have to make these tough calls. And if they don't pan out, a lot of the administrators lose their jobs.
Maybe they could just trade with Houston. LSU hire Tom Herman, who's a hot name, and Orgeron could go to Houston. He could win there, I think.
I would not rule that out. I mean, I think if they hire Tom Herman, if they're fortunate enough, I think that would be a great spot because, you know, he would recruit very well there, and, you know, it's about talent in every league, but seeing in the AAC, if you can just compile a lot of talent, you're gonna win a lot of games.
Right, right, which is, I think you're exactly right. And look, that has been a place, look at the coaches that have come out of Houston in recent years. I mean, there have been guys who go there and win. Sumlin at A&M, who's off to a 5-0 start. Art Briles, right, who's looking for a job, and I'll get to Art Briles next, as a matter of fact. So I think he could win at Houston. One more question on coaching, and then I do want to talk about some of the teams that are hot right now. Where can an Art Briles land with everything that's hanging over him at Baylor, the scandal that's there? Number one, will he coach again, and will he be able to get a top-tier job, or will he have to go? Could he go back to Houston, for example?
That's a difficult question, and, you know, it only takes one school to hire him. So for me to say it's not going to happen,
okay.
You know, that I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't hire him if I'm a school. There's just, if I thought about it, I would have to do so much digging, so much investigating, because I'm sure there's a lot more to the story than we've just read in these articles over the past 6 months. You know, from the outside looking in, it appears to be too toxic of a situation. But, you know, there could be a school like Houston. There could be an AA school or a Conference USA school that is willing, you know, to take the chance. You know, a lot of people have compared it to Bobby Petrino getting the job at Western Kentucky. That's not a fair or accurate comparison at all, because basically all Bobby Petrino did, well, I'm not saying all he did, but, you know, he basically cheated on his wife and hired his girlfriend. That's
right.
Not good, but that's not
vastly different.
The degree of what Art Briles is, you know,
agree totally.
Allegedly involved in.
Agree totally, yeah. It's vastly different. Look, I think Petrino is one of those names that, depending on what jobs come open, I think he'll be a commodity after what he's done at Louisville. If I were LSU, I'd definitely have a conversation with him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably got enough in him as far as, you know, he's getting up there in age, but he's probably got another run in there in him. I you know, it's probably not wise to believe Bobby Petrino, but I actually do believe him when he said he's at his last stop and that he has changed. His family is happy there. And, you know, he's proving you can win big at Louisville. You know, we'll find out what happens, but he's got a top five, top 10 team.
Yeah.
It's not like he needs to go somewhere to win big, and Lamar Jackson is only a sophomore.
Yeah, nope, those are valid points. I don't know if I'd believe Petrino when he says it's his last stop. But
you're probably right.
I just look at history, but maybe so. And you're right. He's proven he can win there. Okay, when we talk about some of the top teams, and I was just looking this morning at the top 10 or 15 teams in the country, and I'm intrigued at the top four. Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Michigan. Are those the four best teams right now in the country, or is that second group of 5-0 teams right behind them, or maybe even a 4-1 team going to make a shot to try to move up into that elite picture?
I think right now it'd be hard to name a top four and not include those four teams
okay.
in some order. It just, you know, I think Louisville might be one of the top four teams in the country. I mean, you watched that game Saturday night, and my opinion of them did not go down because they lost a one-possession game at Clemson.
Sure.
I mean, I think Washington could be one of the best teams, you know, but their sample size is only one game. They throttled a good but not great Stanford team. Other than that, they haven't really played anyone. So I think those are the four best teams in the country right now. But then if you're looking at the AP top 10 right now, there's other teams. You know, let's say A&M beats Tennessee by two touchdowns. You could throw them in that mix there. So I think it's going to be really interesting. Obviously, things will change. Ohio State will play Michigan. You know, what happens late in the year if they're both undefeated and it's a close game there? Does your opinion of one of those teams change? So as usual, lots of drama going on in college football.
I'll be honest with you, Mitch. It wouldn't disappoint me in the least if Alabama and Clemson met again. That was a heck of a game last year for the championship.
Oh, yeah. And I think Ohio State's really, really good. We found out that maybe Oklahoma wasn't as good as we thought last year, and that semifinal game wasn't great, and Michigan State was kind of a no-show. And, you know, but looking at the top teams in the country this year, I think that any of these top six, seven teams, if any of them met in semifinals and finals, it'd be great games.
Can Houston spoil the party?
They could. I mean, they need more games like they did last Thursday. You know, I've watched them two of the last three Thursdays. They can't do what they did to Cincinnati. Even though the final score was decisive against Cincinnati, they did not look like a top five or a top 10 team when they went to Cincinnati.
I agree.
They did against UConn at home. They have a lot of showcase, like Thursday and Friday night games. They need to beat their AAC teams badly to show the country that they're not just skating by. And then obviously they've got that big game against Louisville coming up.
Right.
They can't lose that game. And even so, they'll need a lot of things to happen. You know, Louisville, Louisville would not be in the equation if Houston is in the equation, because Houston would have beaten them. But my point being that, you know, two ACC teams could be there, two Big Ten teams, two SEC teams. You know, they could crash the party, but I'd put the odds at less than 1-5 right now.
Yeah, I'll admit that Cincinnati game did leave some doubt in my mind. It was 12-10 going into the fourth quarter, and then Cincinnati goes ahead. And like you said, the final score is not indicative of what an interesting game that was, I think, for Houston. Two pick sixes in just a matter of seconds can totally turn things around for you.
Yeah, and then Cincinnati lost. I know Hayden Moore, their starting quarterback, didn't play, but Cincinnati lost at home to South Florida, and all that stuff matters. I mean, when you're trying to determine, compare teams that don't really play similar schedules, you've got to look at who they play and who those teams played, and sometimes it's not fair, but the fact that Cincinnati loses at home to South Florida, impacts Houston's playoff chances.
Right. Oh,
does.
I think you're totally right on that. One more question about just looking at some of these teams. I'm impressed that Nebraska is back in the mix. I've got a good friend of mine that's a Nebraska fan. He's real excited. And I'm a little surprised, too, at the start that we've seen this year. I did think that Oklahoma would be better than the 2-2 that they are.
Yeah, first in Nebraska, I think they've, you know, Mike Riley's a good coach, and they had some tough luck last year. Tommy Armstrong, for the most part, is playing really well. Their formula for success is, like, not throwing the ball a lot. You know, some games last year, he would have 40, 45 attempts. You know, when they can keep him in the 20, 25 attempts and run the ball well, they're going to win a lot of games and limit turnovers. So, you know, their schedule hasn't been overly difficult. You know, they did beat Oregon, and they went to Northwestern and won. But they've got some tough games coming down the stretch. And Oklahoma, I thought, made a nice statement against TCU. It would have been nice for them if they wouldn't have blown that lead and won the game more decisively.
I agree, yeah.
But you still have to step back and say, okay, Oklahoma, they lost at home to Ohio State, which might be the best team in the country.
Okay.
And they lost basically a road game at Houston. There's really no shame in either one of those, except that we hold Oklahoma to a really high standard because they're a nationally elite program.
Right. Well, we do hold them to a national standard, but I think that's right. I don't think that's unfair for us, too. Do you?
No, I agree. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, I think they're a team that could create, they're not going to make the playoff, or, you know,
right,
if they win the league. But I think we could. In the season, let's say they're 10-2 with those two losses, we might be rethinking them, and they would definitely end up in the top 10 if that were the case.
You can follow him on Twitter, @AthlonMitch. He's the managing editor at Athlon Sports, talking college football. Mitch Light, thanks for being here today. Great stuff.
No problem. Anytime, Forrest. Take care.
Thank you. Man, it's some good stuff. Got me excited about the games coming up this weekend and really how the rest of the season is going to go, as I said in opening with Mitch, as a lot of teams make that turn going into the second half of their college football season. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the Grizz. You know, we got a wild card game going on today in Major League Baseball. We haven't touched on that. We'll get to some Tiger news that's happening this week as they're on the short week against Temple. Coming up next hour on the show, a lot more on the NBA. At 12:25, we're going to talk with Matt Moore. He's with CBS. He writes on the NBA for CBS Sports, and we'll chat with him. And I know Rosa's going to do some NFL notes in the third hour, around 1 o'clock or so. Fun day ahead. Thanks for joining us. I'm Forrest Goodman, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Grit, grind, win a grand on 92.9 FM ESPN. Simply listen weekdays at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., or 5 p.m. for the Grit, Grind, Grand text word. Then text that word to 72881. Data message rates apply. It's your chance to win an easy grand on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Searching for a sure bet to take your career to the next level? You're in luck. Southland Park, the fastest-growing gaming, racing, and entertainment destination in the Mid-South, is looking for hard-working, friendly individuals who are driven to succeed. Southland offers competitive wages, good benefits, growth potential, and an exciting work environment. To see all the great opportunities, visit southlandpark.com/careers. Some positions may require being 21 and obtaining a state gaming license.
Hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100-plus job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100-plus job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/score. That's ZipRecruiter.com/score. ZipRecruiter.com/score.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine, the radio voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, back again for DeSoto Auto Sales. Have you checked out DeSotoAutoSales.com yet? These guys always have vehicles coming in every day, and they range from $8,000 to $25,000, and their website is updated daily with pics and details of each new arrival. If you haven't been on their lot, it's amazing. There are so many great vehicles out there at incredible prices, so if you don't want to pay those new car prices, this is where you need to go. These guys are not one of those dealers that hold out for top top dollar. They price their vehicles to move them, to sell them. That's what they're there for. Always over 200 pre-owned vehicles on the ground, plus every car is quality checked before it hits the lot. Fair pricing is guaranteed at DeSoto Auto Sales because, let's face it, most people aren't looking to spend $500 to $600 a month on a vehicle. So if you're looking for a great late model used car, go see my friends at DeSoto Auto Sales. DeSoto Auto Sales is located at 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, Mississippi, and they're on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com.
This is a message for men only from the Memphis Men's Clinic. If you suffer from erectile dysfunction, you probably feel pretty isolated and alone. So we want to set you straight. You don't have to deal with ED on your own. In fact, it's a medical problem and not something you can fix by yourself. But we can help. Our doctors specialize in treating ED with personalized medical solutions that work, even when all other remedies have failed you. Solving your ED, this is what we do all day, every day. And our all-male staff understands the importance of discreet private treatment so you don't have to do it alone. Call 901-443-0304 today or visit MemphisMensClinic.com. Your visit is just $99 for a limited time and includes a free test dose. And if it doesn't work for you, your office visit is free. The Memphis Men's Clinic, 901-443-0304. And ask what their incredible priapus shot can do for you.
If you or someone you know is struggling with an addiction to drugs or alcohol, or if it's a mental health, depression issue, behavioral, or eating disorder problem, you have to know you are not alone. Call the Treatment Recovery Hotline today at 1-800-452-1653. That's 1-800-452-1653. This is a completely confidential, free service available 24/7 with addiction advisors who will let you know about treatment options from short-term detox programs to intensive outpatient programs that allow you to still go to work or school to 30-day inpatient programs. The goal is to find the right program or facility to put your life back on track. Don't lose your job, your family, your life, or loved ones. Know your options. Call the Treatment Recovery Hotline today before it's too late. Plus, there are programs for parents to help with teens that they suspect may be having problems. Call the Treatment Recovery Hotline at 1-800-452-1653. Call 1-800-452-1653 today.
Joe Stewart Body Shop is the best body shop in town. They've got the original location at 2916 Summer Avenue. They've also got Joe Stewart Collision of Collierville. Family owned and operated since 1969. And for 3 years running, they're the winner of the Memphis Most Award for Best Car Repair Shop. They're certified by Mercedes-Benz. They're also certified by BMW, but they can work on any make or model. Take your car to Joe Stewart Body Shop. Taking your car anywhere else would be an accident.
If you're having a problem deciding what to do about your hair loss, there are many claims from many companies, but only Cirrus has the 21st century answers that are right for you. If you've just started to lose a little or have a more moderate hair loss, even from chemotherapy, Cirrus can restore your hair to the look and style that you deserve. Restore it or grow it back. We have the Cirrus solution for your hair loss. Call today for a free video scalp analysis.
Call Liz today, 901-384-1680.
Now, back. We're back with Forrest Goodman on Memphis's Sports Station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
NBA talk coming up for you next hour. Matt Moore, CBS Sports, covers the NBA here, 12:25. 1 o'clock hour, we'll get into some NFL notes with Roser. And then, of course, 2 o'clock, Eric Hasseltine will be here from 2 to 4. And then 4 to 6, Gary Parrish for your ride home. Monday Night Football last night, Vikings, NFC. Definitely
that defense, their defense is, and Bradford's been really good.
Yeah.
Bradford's been good. Didn't see this coming without Adrian when they lose Adrian Peterson. But McKinnon and Asiata have been more than capable for him, doing that 1-2 punch. Kyle Rudolph, outstanding tight end. Stephon Diggs has been a great wide receiver for Bradford. Odell Beckham Jr. is going off the rails.
No show. Just nowhere to be found.
Like, just, but that Vikings defense is, I mean, they are ferocious. They really are. And they are really good.
Odell Beckham getting, you know, doing some Odell Beckham stuff. Yeah. And I was reading some of it. I didn't get to, I saw the very end of it, and it was over by then. But I was reading some of the quotes from Eli Manning, the quarterback for the Giants, and I mean, there's clearly some frustration there.
Yeah,
he's missing not having his top wide receiver. Hadn't caught a touchdown pass so far, right? I think that's right. And I think that was one of the notes that I saw. And he clearly is missing him. But Eli is struggling in his own right, too, right now. You can't blame it all on – and he didn't, but I don't think the critics can blame it all on just one receiver. But on the side of the Vikings, and we asked the question yesterday, you know, are they one of the best teams, if not the best in the NFC? And you're right, John, because of that defense, even with the injuries and the people that have been missing and Sam Bradford is adequate, in an NFC right now, which I think has some question marks, even surrounding teams, you know, Seattle will be better than what they are. Look at the Cowboys in the start, what they had. All of a sudden, the Rams, who I thought were just a disaster, are 3-1. I don't know if they can hold that up. But the Vikings undefeated at this point in the season, that says a lot about them and their chances. Carolina is not what they were. Arizona and their loss over the weekend. I mean, right now, how can you not be on the Vikings bandwagon?
No, they look great. I mean, they're 4-0. They look great. Beckham, I mean, he hasn't gotten in the end zone, but he hasn't had, like, bad receiving numbers until last night. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the first week against Dallas, he had 4 catches. He has 73 yards receiving. If you get a touchdown, 73 and a touchdown doesn't look bad.
Yeah, you'll brag on that.
New Orleans, he had eight catches for 86 yards, just didn't get a touchdown. And then week 3 against Washington, he had 7 catches for 121 yards.
So, they're 2-2.
Yeah, if he just gets touchdowns in those games, his numbers look a lot better. He just hasn't been able to get in the end zone. But we saw what, you know, Minnesota... They were able to do this to Kelvin Benjamin last week, too, who's been Cam Newton's guy. And they were able to lock down Kelvin Benjamin last week. Now, Jordy Nelson had better numbers against them when they played Green Bay. Nelson had like 70 and a touchdown. But, I mean,
thank goodness I got Jordy on one of my fantasy teams.
Yeah, they're doing good against these elite receivers. They just are. Their defense is awesome.
Yeah. No, I was impressed last night. Yeah. And then especially looking at the thing afterwards, just some of the game stories and the stats that were out there. I was impressed for a team that I think... Look, you knew going into the season there were a lot of high expectations, and then you wondered if those dreams weren't shattered. But I know it's cliche, but it does mean something. You know, offense wins games, but defense wins championships. Yeah. I mean, just ask the Denver Broncos. They proved that last year with that defense they got.
Well, and Bradford is like, I mean, look, in the age of the NFL where everybody throws for over 300 yards, seemingly, because everybody throws the ball. I mean, Bradford hasn't had one of those games yet. I mean, against Green Bay where they won, he threw for 286. 2 touchdowns, no picks. Against Carolina.
Efficient.
He threw for 171, a touchdown, no picks. Mm-hmm. And then last night he throws for 262, 1 touchdown, no picks. Like, he's not turning it over, which is what you want. Just take care of the ball. Our defense is awesome. Take care of the ball. And our defense will keep us in every game.
Yeah. You're not turning the ball over and putting them in a bad position. Bad situation.
And as long as he does that, I mean, I'll have the number in NFL notes. It's something crazy, like how many consecutive passes without throwing an interception.
Bradford's done. I look forward to that. We do that at 1 o'clock. You weren't here yesterday. What did you think of Paxton getting some playing time for Denver?
Good for him. He clearly is going to be the future there. And that defense is going to keep them in games too. It's going to be much like that. Just like, don't turn the ball over, and our defense is good enough to keep us in a lot of games and will keep us in most of them. And no, so I mean, happy for Paxton.
I am too. I do hope over the long haul, he does have a chance to sit back and learn and become accustomed to it, because you know, he threw a touchdown, but I mean, there were some things too that, I mean, look, he's a rookie.
Yeah, he's a rookie.
And I think
in the toughest position to play.
Right. Exactly. And every critic watches you, the spotlight is on you. And in comparing him to Dak Prescott, who Dak has been put into and has performed well, but a bad situation when he had to step up and replace Romo, I'm glad Paxton's not in a similar, or at least I hope he's not. I hope that everything's going to be okay, and I hope he has a chance. But you know what? I agree with you. You did see the future there. And as a Raiders fan, I've already expressed my dislike that he has to be a Bronco.
Right.
And not just because I like the guy, I got to know him when he's at Memphis, but just the fact is, oh my gosh, can Denver just have some down years, you know, for once, please? And you're right, he's the future there. And I was real excited. I tweeted out yesterday there were a couple of websites that put together all of his past completions and stuff. And, I mean, he looked comfortable back there and will only get better as he is getting
more time. And he's with about as good of an organization as you could be with, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it helps when your big boss is John Elway, who had a little success at quarterback for the very same team. All right, that's hour one of the show. Next hour, NBA Grizz in action last night. They get a preseason win. We've got baseball going on today, wild card action, as the month of October is interesting and has something for every sports fan that is out there, and we've got it all for you. Hour two of the show coming up next. Good to have John Roser back today. I'm Forrest Gump at 92.9 FM ESPN.
WMFS-FM at HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis.
This is going to be caught. Tennessee wins!
This is Coach Butch Jones, and you're listening to your home for Tennessee football, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, it's Gary Parrish here again for Danny Morrison Roofing, and by now, surely you know the deal. And the deal is this. If you're a homeowner with homeowner's insurance and you have roof damage, it's likely...
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.